This is from Many, Many Women by Petr Kotík, a six-hour piece in which the entire novella of that name by Gertrude Stein has been put to music. It's performed by the SEM Ensemble, which Kotík has led since soon after he arrived in the US at the very end of the 1960s. In this, the second of two editions of The Arts dedicated to the Prague-born minimalist composer and conductor, he explains why he considers his hometown a musical garbage heap, and lauds Ostrava, where he set up an institute and festival dedicated to new music. But first, Petr Kotík has a story about how he got permission to put Václav Havel's Letters to Olga to music. He had already written the piece when he came to communist Czechoslovakia with New York art dealer Paula Cooper and her husband Jack McRae.
Jack McRae is the head of a very distinguished publishing house, Henry Holt. In fact, Henry Holt was his grandfather. And they planned to do a paperback edition of the Letters to Olga. And he was very happy that I knew Havel, that I could arrange meeting with Havel, because he wanted to see if Havel would write a new introduction to that paperback edition. And that was the reason for me to contact Havel, and we knew each other from the 60s quite well. And we visited Havel a few times, and in fact he agreed to do that introduction, and I had a concert right in Prague, sort of underground concert, right before leaving to Berlin back by train. And Havel came to the concert and in the intermission gave me an envelope with that text. And that was 1989 in January. And I was thinking, surely the secret police is looking by, and I should brace myself for quite an examination at the border. But nobody really bothered me at the border, so I already knew the regime was probably falling apart a little bit. And I used, in fact, we spent a few times, I wouldn't say Christmas together, at Christmas time, we had a party, I remember, and I used that opportunity to talk to Havel about the project. He was very pleased and gave me, of course, permission to use the text, but it was more or less ex post.
Petr Kotík left Prague in 1969, frustrated at the problems of trying to run his own ensemble in a communist state. Nearly four decades later, he's disparaging, to say the least, about the Czech capital's musical culture. In fact, he says when it comes to music, the city is a garbage heap.
Look at Prague's architecture. You won't find such rich appointed houses anywhere in the whole, I would say, world. There must have been money since the mid-19th century, especially at the end of 19th century. There must have been money pouring out of the walls. And it's you can see how these burghers, the citizens, what did they all, how did they build the buildings? The money, it reflects the enormous wealth which was there. Yet, there was not one good orchestra there. Till today, there is not a hall in Prague which was built for symphony orchestra, where you could put Mahler's orchestra. Imagine, there is not. They could not find the money. Well, I have to calm myself, or I will start calling names. To build a hall for music, when Smetana performed Marvlast, it was in some dance hall, on Jofin. The most depressing thing about Prague and about Czech environment is that it doesn't bother anyone. Doesn't bother anyone. People are not walking around being ashamed of the fact that they could not build a decent concert hall yet. We're talking about 2008. They're not even plans to do it. You know, it's all right. We'll perform in that dance hall in the Obecny Dom. That's okay. That's enough. The piece Smetana wrote had to be re-instrumented because it's impossible to do it in the way he did it, and he did it for practical reasons. He was not sure whether the bassoon player will show up for the performance, so the bassoon parts are doubled in cellos. And we're talking about time when Wagner, after time, that Wagner wrote, you know, pieces with basset horn and contrabass solos and sax did all these instruments, new instruments, and Berlioz had 150 piece orchestra like nothing anywhere he would come. Per orchestra, 16 years to perform Yenufa, Její pastorkyně. 16 years. Every Czech musician should wake up and be ashamed of himself to be Czech musician. Imagine Stravinsky waiting 16 years for Rite of Spring. It would not be Stravinsky. Janáček was effectively by the Prague garbage heap prevented from joining the pantheon of composers of early 20th century.
Despite his low opinion of the Czech capital, Petr Kotík has performed several times at the Prague Spring Festival. It was there in the mid-1990s that he received an invitation to take his SEM Ensemble Orchestra to Prague Castle. That led to a whole festival of music of extended duration at the castle, featuring, among others, the Janáček Philharmonic Orchestra from the industrial North Moravian city of Ostrava. That in turn led to an association with the city, which culminated with the creation in 1999 of the Ostrava Center for New Music. It's focused on work with orchestras and puts on the Ostrava Days Festival and Institute every 2 years. Kotík explains his attachment to both the city and its people.
The city is ugly, so it reminds me of America. You know, in America, you have to understand the poetry of ugliness, then you like it here. If you don't get it, you hate it. You know, it's not like in Prague. On every corner, some antiquity bothers you. In Ostrava, you are left alone. Like here, you're left alone. You know, you can breathe. There's space. In Ostrava is space. We have put together this enormous project. It's the biggest in its class in the world. You know, it costs enormous amount of money. If we haven't encountered yet in Ostrava anyone who would try to prevent it, as the people say in Prague, Hazet Klatsky Podnoj. He didn't fall. And it would have been, especially at the beginning, so easy to just stop it. So easy. And I'm not saying that everybody likes it there. Not at all. And I'm not saying that all the people at the city hall jumping with joy when we bring Sarajevo or Andreessen or play John Cage or something like this. But there has always been somehow possible to find some intellectual and cultural bridge to all these places that in the end we get the support we need. And people are constructive.
That was the second part of an interview with the Czech-born music composer Petr Kotík. You'll find the first part, if you missed that, on our webpage at radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care. This is my